Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today, as always, on the Fridays, we have a summary of what has gone on before. And we have an eminent scholar and learned man in religion, a learned man in politics, a learned man in law. Not only learned, but a practitioner of community development, which is exactly what religion means to be alive. So we are waiting for Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul-Salam to come forth. And when he has come forth, we will have him here. Until then, we want to bring to your attention that Savior's Day, with a plural, because Fannie Lou Hamer was a savior. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul-Salam is a savior. Annie Mae Cooper is a savior. And I said it because those people are in my spirit and mind, whether they past or present. We don't speak of people dying the way of God. Allah is dead. So we're going to have our Savior's Day celebration, February 20th, in Newark, New Jersey. We're going to honor the Amiri Baraka, the great patron saint of African-American activism. He could have been a poet and just been happy with that, but he wasn't satisfied with just being a poet. He could have just gone to Paris and stayed on the left bank, but he came back to his hometown and organized. He was influenced by Unbelieved Muhammad. I know he was influenced by Imam Warakuddin Muhammad because I've had many discussions with him. He used to meet with him at least four times a year. See, the difference between some of the imams who have decided to boycott the Savior's Day and me, I don't talk like a crazy man is found talking to himself. I talk to everybody. I talk to Eddie Glau, to Princeton, I talked to Cornel West. I talked to everybody. I talked to Ray Ray. I talked to Keisha. Talked to Sam. Everybody I can talk to, African American. I don't spend a lot of time talking to others except in the diplomatic work that I do is, and that's what interfaith work is. I'm not going to prolong what the announcements. I do want to tell you that every one of you should get your tickets and come to Savior's Day in Chicago. I mean, in Newark, New Jersey. The theme is Bridges to Peace and Justice. It will be held at the Best Western Hotel. It's a one-day affair, $25 for admissions, $75 for the banquet. So, you know, look, you got $300 or $400. I know there's at least 2,000 of you out there that got that kind of money can come. Get in a car, the four or five of you all come and come together and be with the people supporting Imam Muhammad. Be with Imam Muhammad supporters. Well, if you're not a supporter, I wouldn't advise you to come. If you're not interested, don't come. It's your own loss. So without further ado, I'm going to invite to the mic our brother and friend from the great city of Selma, Alabama, the last major battle station of the civil and human rights movement, a movement that I believe we have won. Now we have to live in the promised land and establish our life. And our brother is not only a person that talks, he is really the destiny. He's teaching the Salat. He's teaching the fasting. He's teaching the Hajj. He's teaching the Shahadatain. Because what are all of these rituals for? The purpose of community development, establish the community God wants on earth. So without further ado, let's have our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul-Salam, live from Selma, Alabama. Brother Imam.
Dearly beloved audience, we greet you in the human greeting, of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Thank God. Brother Imam, for those expressions of kindness and goodness rather than eating his brother's flesh, he decided out of the goodness of his heart to make statement that supplements and builds up the flesh, that enhances the human sensitivity, sensibility, and good sentiments, that is natural for a human being to take on when good statements said to the right are made. But these sentiments shouldn't become drunken or excessive in the sense that one become a glutton for praise, but well-placed, heartfelt, flesh-building, is appropriate, and we accept it. Dearly beloved audience, we are living in the time of Yom Medin, the day of judgment, the day of religion, and the day of the collection of the dead. And I say, as Imam Muhammad so emphatically stated, that yes, this is the day of judgment, and we are living in it. And then he asked the query as to whether or not didn't someone have to live during the day of judgment. The cosmos in the book of cosmic signs, it stipulates that the cosmic frame of Mother Matter is bigger than mankind. Oh, yes. So in this day and time, messages are emanating from the man in the book that's even bigger than the messages that are being projected from man's world, his social order. And we can't live in this prophetic day. I repeat, we cannot live in this prophetic day without understanding that events have been prophetically orchestrated as signs, lessons, evidence, and proof. Proof of what? The sovereignty, the might, and the power of Almighty God. And what is the objective of his power to bring about this day where one can see with a certainty of sight, whereas Bible suggests all eyes shall see. Clear evidence that man is not in charge of affairs, that Almighty God is in charge of his affairs, and that his army is never defeated, his promise is never broken, and the wealth of the wealthy but buried themselves not against our sovereign Lord. against our sovereign Lord, to whom belong the milk, the dominion, the death, and the life. And when we look at this world's life, when we look at this world's life, we can see that the one who has revealed to the human being that not a leaf fall without his permission, every effect in the universe is ultimately a result or consequence of the cause of the creator of the heavens and earth. So, they tell us that the devil is in the details, but let me correct that and state unequivocally that Almighty God is in the details, no matter how small. Now let me just unravel a few details. Let me, by the grace of Almighty God, marshal some indisputable facts, some incontrovertible facts, facts that cannot be contravened by any counter advocacy. Today is reported in the New York Times that a mayor by the name of Vincent Chauncey passed away in Providence, Rhode Island. So what's providential about that small detail? Well, let us reflect, but before we answer that question, on providence itself. It's a combination of proof and evidence. Proof and evidence of what? The power, the wisdom, the knowledge of the creator of the heavens and earth. We're living some 600 years after a period from 1405 A.D. where events occurred that set up this modern world and sabotaged the natural expression of the universal Adamic human being. But the Imam said that in time, Allah calls to arise his glorious creature again, Adam. And then this day of Yom Kippur, day of resurrection, we see after 600 years, of course, Adam being resurrected on 60-yard arm spans. We see the time being right for the resurrection of the human being on the model of Adamic community life. For us, New Africa. Let us now go back to the period between 1405 AD and 1431-33. Now, during that period, a Chinese Muslim leader set sail and set in forces where Chinese explorers with magnificent fleets explored the Indian Ocean and the east coast of Africa. And they proceeded in the spirit that the duty of the civilizer is to teach civilization. And even though there has always been evidence of magnificent civilizations on the continent of Africa, no doubt, at this particular time, however, the Chinese probably had the most advanced civilization on the planet, with possibly the exception of the great Islamic empires seated in West Africa, empires of Mali, Ghana, and Songhai. But these explorers came to not the Atlantic, but the Indian Ocean. And they interchanged with individuals who became Muslims in East Africa. And in the life of President Barack Hussein Obama's grandfather, he worked briefly in that area. And during that period of his life, he converted to Al-Islam. But these Chinese from the Ming Dynasty, M-I-N-G, did not come with a conquering attitude. Did not trying to come propagating Confucianism or Taoism or any other Chinese philosophical religious system. Matter of fact, the leader of the expedition who organized the expedition, he was a Muslim. His father was a Muslim. Grandfather was a Muslim, and father and grandfather made the Hajj all the way from China to Mecca. Let's look at this period some 500 years later from this period between 1905 to 1931-33 in 1905. Now, I'm receiving this information as far as this Chinese expedition not coming as imperialists or colonialists, respecting the endemic nature of the African people, not trying to dominate, not trying to exploit, not trying to enslave, but following the cosmic injunction that we are made differently, but we must learn to know these Africans, and we must interchange knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We must receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from them. But we also must share what we have. This is found in the outstanding work, How Portugal Forged the First Global Empire. Conquerors. The Chinese did not come as conquerors. In 1905, we have the second in a series of leaders who went outside the religion of Pharaoh. When Musa, peace be upon him, escaped to the land beyond the territorial boundaries of Egypt, he met with his mentor, his wonderful mentor, and he told him, "Well, how thou escaped from a people unjust." Why were they unjust? Because they had used religion in the name of God to try to elevate and lower themselves as patrons and gods over other sons and daughters of Adam, especially the children of Israel. In a little-known African-American history, some 22 years after William Poole was born in 1866, in the post-Reconstruction period, with a plan and God plan, and while they were busy engaging in reactionary reconstruction, social, economic, and political government policy, Allah started the process of reconstructing the souls of black folk. But in order to do that, we had to develop leadership. God had to bless us with a leadership that was rooted outside of the boundaries of empire, religious indoctrination. So in 1888, we saw the leadership of William Christian out of Arkansas, and even though he was rooted in Christianity and had the name Christian, he brought a hodgepodge of teachings that was heavily flavored by Masonic ideas as well as Judaism. He did not go to Al-Islam. He went to Judaism. by one Roger Crowley. A few years after the Christian initiatory step, Prophet Elijah is what they call him, but his name was William Joseph Crowley. And he came out of Kansas, not Arkansas, but Kansas, with a new message. His too was tinged by Masonic lore, but heavily influenced by Judaism. So we see the first attempt to reconstruct the mind and soul of black folks started outside of Christianity, but the first move was toward Judaism. But no one from traditional Judaism came like Farad Muhammad, seeking to give something to the world worst ones. Some means, some method to solve the problem of the world's worst ones. Nobody came from the synagogue to enhance Brother Christian and Prophet Elijah's work. The difference between Christian and so-called Prophet Elijah was that Prophet Elijah took his message heavily into the Midwest. Chicago, went to the East Coast, New York, Philadelphia. And when Elijah Muhammad was a little bitty boy, his granddaddy, Irvin Poole, used to tease him about becoming a prophet like this prophet Elijah, William Joseph Crowley. During this period, 1905, 1906, 100 years ago, this movement of going outside of the church, seeking light, and then a few years later, we're talking about 1905 to 1931-33. We'll be having Savior's Day in Newark, New Jersey, right during the time a prophet Elijah, the first light of Islamic Dawah, began to dawn. Out of New Jersey, out of the Newark area, New York, what have you, an individual Caucasian by the name of Alexander Whale would take us out of the realm of Judaism to Al-Islam. But his mission was bound to fail, and it did fail. But one, Timothy Drew, out of North Carolina, who became Noble Dwelly, started in 1913, connecting up with Will Christian from Arkansas. From what out to what the man said, Newark represents the coming of a New York. to African-American people. So it's befitting as we connect up with all this history that started unraveling, that began in 1405 and started unraveling in 1905. It has now unraveled. And it's time for us to fulfill the God's vision of taking our place in the constellation of stars. So Noble Duarte took this thing Islamically. 1913. Booker T. Washington died. Marcus Garvey movement started. One who had been influenced by Egyptians, Dusi Muhammad and others. He was familiar with the teaching of Islam. A lot of us don't know that. The late Honorable Marcus Garvey. So from Christian to Prophet Elijah to Noble Duarte, 1913, to Marcus Garvey, Duarte until the late 20s, Marcus Garvey in prison in Atlanta, 1925. Remember, I said 1431 through 1433. 500 years later, 1931, Barack Muhammad met the late Elijah Muhammad in 1931. In 1933, the one who would be sent to build the Ark of Life-giving principles, to carry the African-American culture life to thousands of years in the future. Imam Muhammad physically came on this planet. In 14, September 20th, the Chinese people paraded a giraffe brought from these expeditions in Africa and China, a gift of goodwill from the Africans to the Chinese. By the way, some say that exploring Africans brought Islam to China. I can't necessarily verify that. But I'm making a point where non-African colored people encountered the African people and brought relationships of peace, not war. Not cross-like propaganda, not exploitation, colonialism, and imperialism, but good relation after that giraffe. The year after, in 1415, the Europeans out of Portugal with inferior technology, within inferior civilization, began to move through Cape Vincent down the coast of Africa. And today, as these events have come to a head, that history from 1405 to today, 1916. But a year after the Chinese returned from Africa with that giraffe, another group of people, the European Portuguese, went down to Cape Bedford. Didn't I tell you the sign in the detail of that death in Providence, Rhode Island, by Mel Vincent? All the living bets of that first act of European conquest has been undone. And we're living in a day of a new heaven and a new earth. In a donkey taught by Imam Muhammad, enlightened by Imam Muhammad, is calling our attention to this providential coming together of events that are separated by hundreds of years of time and thousands of miles of space. Mel Vincent, Cape Vincent, the Portuguese came out of Europe, went down the coast of West Africa, committing murder, mayhem, vicious destruction, carrying deadly weapons in one hand and the Bible in the other one. Soon as they hit the land of Moors, Northern Africa, Morocco, they began to try to destroy Muslims. Now here it is, these yellow people never had a problem with Al-Islam. Why is it that the European people in general has always had a problem with Al-Islam? To this day, what is it about Al-Islam that's so important that they reject by going to the extreme of warfare? So look what this guy said. These Portuguese that went into Africa started the age of Vasco da Gama. Built the first global empire. Then here come Spain, and here come England, and here come France, and here come the Dutch in 1619. Here come the Germans. These European powers building up a terrible system where all the sons and daughters of Adam, the others who were not European and white, Africans enslaved, Native Americans almost terminated, the Asiatic Chinese made addicted on opium, the brown-skinned Indians exploded like dogs until Almighty God raised up Gandhi as a freedom fighter and liberator. These are the facts. It started in 1415, 500 years before Marcus Garvey, 500 years plus a year or two before Noble Duarte. But look what happened at the same time. Noble Duarte and Marcus Garvey, the beginning of the Great War, World War I in 1914, which was the first shocking event to tear up that whole European dominance and hegemony over the world. 500 years. And they went to war and began to destroy each other. Of course, later followed the Great Depression, World War II, the dropping of an atomic bomb on yellow-skinned Japanese. But the beginning of the end of imperialism and colonialism. Why is it that the Europeans could not relate to these sons and daughters of Adam in peace? Why did they have to take up arms and warfare and strategies of dominance? Why? But as the European powers commenced the process to undermine that colossal global intricate network, the sons and daughters of ex-slaves were undergoing an initiatory process of enlightenment. With the son of Elijah Muhammad born 1933. The blessed Imam Waqidi Muhammad, the most illuminated explicator of Al-Quran since Prophet Muhammad himself. What about Al-Quran since Prophet Muhammad himself? Look what Almighty God was doing. That was 500 years. The human being is a creature of five. When this process began in a big way, bringing us to the light of Quran, with Dwali, Garvey, and the Nation of Islam, look what Almighty God did on five. After 500 years, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And now 500 years later, during the period between 2005, 600 years after the Chinese fleet went into East Africa and showed that human beings could have interacted through exploration without murder, slavery, mayhem, undercutting other folk religion, creating doctrines of racial supremacy. If the Chinese didn't do it, the European didn't have to do it. If the Chinese could relate to the human other, the European in theory could have related. Let's look at the 600-year anniversary. 1 year before it started warming up, when a young man out of Illinois, you know, in 1933, some 500 years after that 1431-1433 period, Chicago had a World's Fair. And the theme of that fair was dealing with light. And during that same World Fair period, the son of Imam Muhammad, who would be used by Allah to renew, to regenerate the great Islamic light, he was being born. During that same year, a president named Delano was inaugurated with his president named Wallace. In between those two presidents, and the man, when he was in the streets trying to survive, before he came into his mission, sometimes he was known as Wallace Delaney. Delano and Delaney is the same thing. When you combine the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt with Vice President Henry Wallace in 1933, you have the same name of Wallace D. And this Wallace, this president, was notorious for studying the science of esoteric wisdom, worked to design the symbolism on the dollar bill, not knowing that a baby was born who would come on this planet that year and teach the descendants of slaves on that pyramid for 7 or 8 hours in Chicago, Illinois. This donkey was in the process of moving from Atlanta to Madison, Wisconsin, when he stopped in Chicago. This man started teaching around about 2 or 3 o'clock after Paracorn and Dr. Akbar warmed things up. And it was way past 9 o'clock before he finished. Teaching on that same pyramid that Vice President Wallace helped design for the dollar bill of these United States. Look what Allah has robbed. Look at what Allah has orchestrated. Look at what Allah has designed. Look at what Allah has brought from the unmanifest to the manifest. Years later, 2005, Hurricane Katrina came. 1 year after President Obama made that speech in Boston. Look how Allah worked. By then, this young man born in 1933 had come into his global mission, and by 2005, he had been preaching for 30 years. And the majority of his people rejected the light that God sent to complete the dismantling of the Western world from this Portuguese debacle and disaster. Coming in admission some 30 years, the 3 is number because he had to break this Trinitarian doctrine, 30 years after the dropping of the atomic bomb, 20 years after the Bandung Conference, which was a sign that we had to ban that legendary reptile that was hatched from a cock's egg on a dunghill. Look how Almighty God worked. Look how wise his plan is. Look how impressive his wisdom and his LIZ, how mighty he is. 30 years later, they began to solidify the African-American in their rejection of the imam. So Allah in 2005 allowed Hurricane Katrina to come, as Wallace said, and kick some ass of a rebellious people. 2007, this grandson of a man who was converted in this that interchange culturally with the Chinese. Look what Allah has done. This man who was a student of this Wallace, put his hat in the ring in the land of Lincoln. Lincoln itself means pool. And his name, Abraham, is a sign that physical emancipation of manumission is not enough. Your soul, your mind, your psyche must be emancipated. And the only way it's going to be emancipated is through the religion of Ibrahim. And he who brought the religion of Ibrahim, Muhammad, the champion human being. Look what Allah, Almighty God, has wrought. Really beloved audience. The man who brought the light of Nation of Islam to bear in America also was a Lincoln. Which means fool. If you study Barack long enough, it means blessed. But it also is rooted in the word fool. Allah was going to bring this thing where we would meet the light at the pools through the pools family that emerged right before Reconstruction when Wali Muhammad, Elijah's father, was born as William Poole in 1866. Look what God has done. He understands the pine is a mystery of all he intends to do. And he is acquainted with all things. Let the challenger step forward and rebut this case. Watch this docket continue to marshal the fact in the cause of God. Not trying to glorify Muhammad. Not trying to glorify Elijah. Not trying to glorify Walter Dean. Not trying to glorify President Barack Hussein Obama. But saying, subhanallah. Glory to Allah. Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. No just estimate do we give him. How can there be a God of darkness? What God of darkness can arrange these affairs with that kind of precision and conciseness? Do you have any sense? In this land of Lincoln, he threw his hat in the ring. Do you understand? 2007. Then, September 2008, the Lightbringer made a transition physically from this life. Less than 2 months later, Barack Hussein Obama was elected president of these United States. Please excuse me for a brief interruption. We had to take care of some chaos that was happening in the home. Look what Allah has wrought. Look how he fulfilled his promise to make us inheritors of the land, both east and west. The milky natural land, material excellence, the honey-like sort of 16 healing of great spiritual aggravation or great spiritual accumulation as these bees kept coming buzzing from Village Weekly. Benjamin Banneker gave a process all the way up to the Blessed Imam and his tutor. And here we are now in 2016, in the heart of that almost 30-year period, 1405, 1430, 1431. Here we are, 100 years away from the 100th anniversary of the momentous victory that Allah sent our people with the formulation of the Nation of Islam. Look where we are. Just 14, 15 years away. 14 years away. 2 7-year cycles away. From July 4th, 1930. I know it's a mythological date, but we'll use it literally. That's why this Savior's Day is so important. We cannot stop now. We cannot stop now. We must continue to grow. We must stand upon the sacrifice of all our great pioneers. By 2030, the 100th year symbolizing consciousness, we should be able to look around this country and see physical signs of New Africa everywhere. A New Africa in New York. A New Africa in Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas, San Francisco, California, Oakland, California, L.A., California, all throughout this great nation. Look what God has lost. Look at this prima facie case that's been presented. Normally only required rebuttable presumption, but these presumptions that's been implied in terms of the might of God are irrebuttable. They cannot be controverted. They cannot be contravened. I appeal to you all across the country. There's never been a Savior's Day that's more monumental, that's more important than this day when we are kept to bring the tribe together, to bring the forces together, to unify under one Allah, under one creation, under one global man, applying the doctrine of Tawheed to its maximum effectiveness. could even be conceived in our mother's imagination. If he performed all these miracles and great wonders, when the odds were shown on stack, look what predicament African Americans were in 1888 when William Christian out of Arkansas made his move. Have we become that weak? That with this great wind at our back, all this history at our back, all this divine omnipotence at our back, all this divine might at our back, and we can't get the strength to take that final step into New Africa. Dearly beloved audience, we implore you, we encourage you, we beseech you to rise up out of your sleep. Get ready for the day of consciousness. In 1930, 100 years later, well, brother, I may not be here. Make sure that your offsprings and your generations are here and that they carry your freedom by spirit. Make sure that you are turning over in your grave with their strength. Make sure that you are ready to bust up out of the grave. From the vibration of New Africa growing everywhere in 2030, some 100 years later. This is our hope. This is our heartfelt aspiration. We thank Allah for his unlimited goodness, dearly beloved audience. We have a glorious history. There's nothing to squabble or fight about. We should now unify. Get our act together and join the global village table with our special delicacy that Almighty God himself have conjured up from the soul of black folk. Dearly beloved audience, this has been Religion Means Alive, and we are martial facts demonstrating the mercy, the grace, the compassion, the wisdom, the knowledge, the might, the power, the sovereignty of a living God. Of a living God. This has been Religion Means Alive. And I greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. And we turn the program back over to this servant, this one who sacrificed for the advancement of all of us, our brother, our friend, Imam Afrit Muhammad. But I don't like him, brother, but what if Allah love him? What are you going to do then? Brother Imam Muhammad, are you ready? Brother Imam Muhammad, are you ready? Dearly beloved people, I would hate to sign off without the proper protocol of the orchestrators of this program. But after such a heartfelt presentation, and we have come to the conclusion, in my humble opinion, there should have been an organizer here to help close us out. Since there is not, then let me officially close out with the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum, and I do asking that God bless each and every one of us with the excellent Adamic human life. Again, Assalamu Alaikum.